Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, fundraisers, giveaways, stuff, misadventures, a shrubbery at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack-Jack!
Yay!
How are you doing, Jack-Jack?
I'm okay.
So we're in season 5.
Wow.
The future is now. And it is not so bright that I have to wear shades, but I'm going to anyway. And boop. Oh, come on.
I thought you were going to punch the mic the whole time. I was waiting for
it. No, see, unlike you, I don't do that because I don't take my frustrations out on inanimate objects. Jeez, Jack, you did it again. Wow. Hey, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the brand new Maul C1 Plus and everything in between. TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. Poor kid. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance the night. And speaking of TNVC, do you know who we have joining us today?
Well, I actually do, but for the drama of radio, I'll say, who's that, John?
Don Edwards. Don, how's it going, man?
It's going great, man. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, definitely, dude. So for those, you've been on the show before, but for those that don't know, tell who you are, what you do, what you did, and we'll hop right in.
I'm Don Edwards, as introduced. I'm the Director of Law Enforcement Military Sales and Training for TNVC.
Thanks.
And I'm a former SF guy, law enforcement training type of dude, and been playing with night vision and guns for a long time.
Nice. So we're going to do a kind of multi-part show. We're going to talk about a couple of different things. One of them is going to be context and training, and that's something that is very important to me that I know you can speak to because you've got a military background, but you are also you are focused on finding citizen solutions for people, solutions that can be utilized by citizens as well as sworn LE and mill dudes. One of the other things that I want to talk about is some night vision stuff as well, because there's some new night vision things that a lot of people are asking about. So, and you can speak to that as well. So I figured it would be a nice sort of all-encompassing show. Now, yeah, what I'd like to get started with first, just because everybody's always interested in gear for some reason. There's a new laser designator or IR designator or both, I guess you could say, and illuminator that's available on the market. And that is the B.E. Myers Maul, which is MAWL C1 Plus. It's a eye-safe, civilian-legal designator. Now, the reason why this is getting a lot of attention is because it's significantly more expensive than every other unit that's available, but it's actually significantly better than every other unit that's available as well. Can you tell a little bit about what this thing is, what it does, and what makes it cool?
Sure. It's, of course, it's made by B.E. Myers, and people in the military will recognize them as having making high-powered lasers for quite some time. And they're probably the top dogs when it comes to that. No, they are. But so earlier, I guess it was last year, about maybe this time last year, they introduced the Mall DA, which is the Class 3 version, the military restricted version that they made for primarily the special operations community. And it pretty much shook everybody up to the point where the first thing people started asking is, when is the civilian version going to be available? So now we have the civilian version of it available.
Nice.
Some of the things it does for you, it's modular. So it offsets to the, I don't know, if you're a right-handed shooter, it's off to the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock position on your rail. So it's kind of off the top of your rail, and it allows you to nest your lights and your lasers and stuff to where they fit around your rail a lot easier.
Right.
It's also modular so that you could switch it around and put it on the left side and it'll hang over to the left for a left-handed shooter. So that is one key thing. Ergonomically, it's got a lot of really good features. The biggest thing about it is the laser and the illuminator. It has some of the cleanest illuminator beam of anything that anybody's really used these days.
Right.
So these guys being the laser guys, what B. Myers told me was they sat down and they decided to build a laser that they wanted to go to war with if they needed to go to war.
Right.
And they started from the ground up.
So I've gotten to play with a couple of different designators and other companies' lasers in the past. And the thing that, you know, and I do some night vision stuff. It is not my primary, you know, mission or capability. I use it mainly for property control because I live in the middle of nowhere. And I help some of the neighbors out when they have some problems with varmints and their livestock, blah, 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 blah. That having been said, the thing that I've run into with other units trying to set up lasers is getting it to where I can just shoot the rifle the way I usually shoot the rifle is really difficult for whatever reason.
Because you have a square box sitting on top of...
Right, right. Whereas when I use... When I've played with the Mall, and I haven't gotten to play with one much, and I'm not trying to claim that I have, but what's immediately struck me is that I can just set the rifle up the way I usually do, set up the white light the way that I usually do, and everything's right where it is simple to use without me switching my hand position or anything like that. Is that like the major ergonomic advantage as you see it?
I see it, yes, definitely. They put a lot of time and effort into to make it very user-friendly so that, you know, with your non-shooting hand, you can perform all the functions that you need to perform, switching it from, you know, from off to on to visible to infrared, you know, to the different power settings. You can do it all basically with your non-shooting thumb.
Right. Right. So as far as the, you guys have put some pictures out and some videos, it looks like, as you know, as a layman, that this civilian legal version is better. I don't want to say more powerful because I know that that's not what it is, but it seems like that it is more effective than even some of the restricted models are as far as it illuminating.
It is very impressive even compared to some of the restricted models. I'm not going to lie. And it's all in the illuminator. So the laser pointer that you use for aiming, that's the same output,
right.
0.7 milliwatts, because it's got to be below, it's got to be in that range to be legal for, you know, by the FDA.
Right.
In order to tame the illuminators on some of the others, it really hurt the performance.
Right.
B.E. Myers used a different type of laser diode that, even though it is below or meets the requirements for power output, the performance is incredible.
Right.
You know, so it's like having a white light and having, you know, different reflectors.
Right.
You know, you can have a decent light bulb with a crappy reflector and not have a good beam.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying that's exactly, but that's kind of the idea, is we're throwing the same amount of lumens or milliwatts out there, but we're getting a lot better performance out of it because it's a better bulb, if you will.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. We got to go to break, Don, so if you want to hold on, we will continue this discussion when we get back. Talking with Don Edwards from TNVC. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. Also, they are accepting pre-orders on their new EDC X9 at wilsoncombat.com. EDC X9 is a 15-round firearm that has a smaller grip circumference than a standard 1911. That's pretty cool, I think. What do you think, Jack?
I'm interested to try one out.
Would you like to know more? Desire to know more intensifies. Yes. So anyway, we're talking with Don Edwards from TNVC. You've also got a training company, Don. We have not mentioned that yet, and you didn't mention it at the beginning of the show. What's that again?
Oh, well. It's called Greenline Tactical, and I focus on things not night vision related when it comes to firearms and tactics.
Nice. So we'll talk a little bit more about night vision stuff, and then we'll get into the training aspect, which I actually think is as important as gear, if not more so. But so for the mall, the main differentiator there, it's got ergonomics that nobody else has figured out yet, and also is a more efficient design for a couple of different reasons as far as the usable output of the designator. Usable output's a good way to put that, right? I guess.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, and for example, for guys that are listening that haven't, you know, read anything that I put out, you know, or comments that I've made, you know, on the internet about it, I've illuminated targets with that illuminator beyond 300 yards for other guys with other lasers to be able to shoot them. The laser would still reach out that far, but their illuminator wouldn't illuminate the target so that they could see it. So I stood next to them with a Mall C1 Plus, shine my Class 1 illuminator on it so they could shoot at it.
That's, yeah. Here, let me out. Yeah. Let me help you out, bro. I got you, fam.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's one of those things where, yeah, I got you. It's one of those things where, you know, we talk about gear and night vision, especially when we're talking about, you know, the professional end user, like the SWAT guys and the law enforcement guys. The gear really does drive your capability. And it's one of the few instances where I think that's true, you know, because we're going to talk about training and how, you know, gear can't fix or can't really replace, you know, training and skill. But in this case, if you don't have the gear that can do a certain thing, you can't do it either.
Well, and so that's actually a really interesting conversation. And we're going to have a talk with another SF guy in a couple of weeks about mindset. And I'm sure we'll talk about it then. But, you know, that'll be a month from now. So everyone will. We'll get to look forward to that. But gear doesn't matter until it does is pretty much
right.
And I know that's like a really kind of like, it sounds like a cop out, but as far as like, once we get into like night vision and what that does for us, if you don't have night vision at all and whoever you're going up against does, that gear matters. And if you've got like lower quality night vision, and the other guy does not, they've got higher quality stuff, that matters too. So, I guess why do you think people have a hard time understanding that, or is it just that they don't have the depth of knowledge to determine when and where it matters?
I think it's multiple reasons. I think it has to do with that, with lack of understanding or education or knowledge about it and, you know, what the possibilities are. You know, that's definitely, if you've never, you know, done shoot house or room clearing wearing, you know, binocular style night vision goggles, you don't know the advantage that it gives you.
Right.
You know, you can't even imagine the advantage. And if you've done it with a PBS 14 monocular and you think that's great, you still don't know what an advantage that the binocular style does, you know? So, you know, a good laser versus an okay laser, you know, what capability does that add, you know, to you? So I think that there's, and it's also, the stuff is not cheap.
Right.
So people look at it as, well, what can I get in, you know, what can I get into that's good enough and is going to, you know, allow me to accomplish my mission?
Well,
you know, and
so let me ask you this. I mean, night vision is one of those things where I have conversations with people about it. And the thing that invariably comes up is, well, how do I know if I need night vision? And need is like a really big word and, or big concept. You don't need night vision until you really need night vision. And that's, once again,
it's like four-wheel drive.
Yeah. Once again, it's kind of like, well, I feel comfortable saying that for most civilians people that are not actively going out and hunting bad guys as part of their job, do you need it? No, probably not. That having been said, if you have a safe full of guns and you've got four or five different ARs that, you know, all pretty much do the same thing, turning one of those ARs into a PVS 14, not a bad idea. And turning another one of them into a MAL C1 Plus, also not a bad idea. And it gives you a capability that you didn't have before that if you're ever in the situation where, I don't know, the power's out for a couple of weeks due to a hurricane, or mm-hmm. some other natural disaster or man-made disaster or civil unrest or who knows what, it's suddenly incredibly useful, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, you've probably heard me say this before. It's dark half of the time.
Right.
So you don't have night vision, you're missing out on half the action.
Yeah. it's one of those things, too, where, like, so, you know, I started working with you guys last year and I'm like, oh, you know, I've got white lights. I don't have any problems, blah, 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 blah. I cannot tell you how wrong I was because it, you know, even in just the stuff I do that once again is mainly involved in like animal and property control, incredibly useful, you know? So,
yeah, it's like anything. Once you have it, you find reasons to use it. And, you know, even if it's just recreational,
yeah,
you know, if you've got a safe full of AR-15s, you can only shoot one of them at a time, maybe two, you know,
if you're cool.
Can.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're cool and you have a YouTube channel. but, you know, once you have that and you've invested the money in it, you know, then, you know, odds are you've got friends that want to go out and you've got a range that you can shoot at night, and you know it's an extension of the shooting hobby for a lot of people too.
Well, and the other thing too, if you do any sort of camping or backpacking or something like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're an EMT doing search and rescue ever, I know Melody that works with us. She's an EMT, and she's said a couple of times that, you know, they go out on a call late at night where they've got a vehicle where an occupant's been ejected and it's dark because she lives in the middle mm-hmm. of nowhere. Something like thermal or mm-hmm. You know, night vision would be incredibly useful. So,
oh, yeah. Thermal is very good for something like that because if somebody's not moving, they're hurt, you know, they're still producing a heat signature. You may have a hard time seeing them if there's no movement and they're in the bushes or something with night vision. But
right.
There's so many great applications.
Right. So let's talk about training a little bit. Now, mm-hmm. I guess what are your, if you had to like boil your thoughts on training down into an easily digested sentence, and I'm sure you're going to hate my guts for throwing this question at you without any warning at all. What would it be? What would be the tau of Don's training essence here?
Boil it down into one sentence.
Yeah.
I've already wasted some of those words. I would say, you know, primarily, if you need to define the context of what you're training for.
Okay.
You know, if you're training to be a competitive shooter, then you know that's what you're gonna, you know, probably want to focus the majority of your training time and dollars and resources towards. If you're training as a defensive shooter, then that's the type of, you know, instructor you, I would say, you want to seek out and go for. So it's that context to me. It, you know, you and I've had this conversation quite a bit before, is context. And I'm also a big believer in fundamentals. You know, people always seem to want some sort of advanced skill, but really all that is a mastery of the fundamentals. For the most part.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt because we got to go to break again. Right now we're talking with Don Edwards. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell a Z's light ever again. It doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. It's a great party trick. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off at the Surefire.com web store by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that is ALLTHELUMENS, at Surefire.com. 30% off everything except suppressors and batteries. Make sure you don't add a space after that, though, because then it doesn't work. Anyway, we're talking with Don Edwards. And before the break, I threw a horrible question at you that you had to suddenly think of an answer for early in the morning, and I apologize. But
no worries, man.
So if you had to condense it down, it's pretty much clearly identify what you're training for before you go and train for it, pretty much.
I think so. I mean, everybody's resources are limited to a certain extent. You know, some of us have more resources than others,
right.
But still, there's only so much time in the day, so many days in the month, only so much money for ammunition, only so many hours in the day where you have access to ranges and stuff like that. So, you know, for most of us, you know, we have to budget that, and we have to,
right.
You know, allot certain things. So, you know, focus your dollars and your time and your, you know, your resources. Where are you going to get the most benefit for what you want to accomplish?
So you were talking about how people are sort of looking for the secret sauce when it comes to all this. And like the magic five finger death punch exploding palm technique that will be sure to devastate any opponent you run into or some crap like that. I don't know. But it's essentially just a mastery of the fundamentals executed under incredibly high pressure. Is that what it boils down to?
That's what I think it boils down to. I mean, I have yet to find the magic potion, and I've been looking for it for 30 years.
Right.
You know, in my experience and, you know, my opinion from what I've seen, what I've done, people who have a solid foundation in the fundamentals, they don't have issues when other problems are thrown at them. For example, someone with a solid basis in how to shoot and operate their weapon.
Right.
You know, they don't have to think about it or worry about that when they're trying to solve other problems that get thrown at them. You know, that's one less thing they have to even, you know, stop and worry about. How do I reload this gun? They just reload the gun when their brain says gun's empty.
Right. So where do you think, I mean, cause you sort of made the distinction between competition and self-defense. Do you think there's value in going and getting some of those mechanical skills really dialed in a competitive setting and then working on contextualizing some of the tactics and things like that in a self-defense setting?
I think there's value, of course. And I love, you know, competitive shooting. It's just one of those things that for me, I don't have the, it's a resource intensive hobby.
Right.
So I have to, you know, I have to say I'm not a competition guy anymore. I was once upon a time I tried to be, but, you know, don't have that. So what I would say is don't come to me to make you a better IPSC shooter because, you know, I can't help you, you know, with some of the things, the nuances of it. I can make you a better shooter, but, you know, some of the things I may advocate may not be conducive to a fast stage.
Right.
You know, as a defensive or a combat shooter.
Or vice versa, really, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. But there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
And I think if you have the time to put into it, then it's great. But if you don't, if your resources are more limited, you know, than some, then I think, hey, choose what is most important to you and focus the majority of your, you know, energy, you know, towards that.
Right. So as far as when you say a focus on the fundamentals, what are those to you?
What are the fundamentals to me?
Yeah.
They're basic gun handling skills. They are, you know, how to hit your target, how to safely draw, how to safely operate and efficiently operate your guns, either, you know, whatever kind they are. They are, you know, trigger squeeze. They are sights, you know, using the sights to hit your target. You know, if someone doesn't have a mastery of how to hit their targets, they're not able to do some basic marksmanship, then once the adrenaline starts to kick up a little bit, they're going to have a little bit more difficulty.
So do you think that, so if we're talking about like the basic fundamentals of marksmanship and things like that, I see a lot of people that are capable or more than capable of exercising those when it's an environment that they have created where there's zero pressure put upon them. How important do you think it is getting outside of like your comfort zone and seeing how you do in situations that are not maybe what you're used to?
I think there's so much value in doing that. And that's where, you know, even for the defensive shooter, the occasional, you know, competition could be good, you know, because that puts them in an environment that they may not be, you know, really used to. So they're a little bit, you know, I would say out of their element, but maybe.
Yeah.
And they're doing things that, you know, aren't really that different, but, you know, in a different context or not really context, but setting.
Right.
You know, so now even if they choose to do things the exact same way they always do them, they're kind of pressure cooking, you know, their own skills and abilities.
Right.
You know, and that's just one thing. Or just shooting drills. I mean, shooting drills with your buddies watching you, you know, adds enough stress to a lot of people to make you fumble at reload.
Well, and like, so there's this, entire conversation that occurs about the use of timers in training, and there's this back and forth between different camps. And I agree with both sides when, you know, side one is generally, well, your ability to perform well during a drill that is timed does not necessarily indicate that you're going to perform well in real life. And then the flip side of that is if you can't perform well under even a little bit of pressure that a timer creates, you're probably not going to perform well in real life. There's all this back and forth, but I've seen people fall apart when placed under even a little bit of time pressure. Is that something that you've noticed as well when you're running people or?
Oh, I've seen people on the firing line start to fumble things just by me raising the tone of or the volume of my voice when I'm calling out range commands.
Right.
I don't even have to introduce a timer. I can just talk louder and people start moving faster and, you know, and shooting more erratically and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm not even yelling at you guys. I'm just saying up louder.
Right. Right.
You know, so yeah, you know, and it's all self-induced. The more you care about what you're doing, the more, you know, you're worried about performing in front of someone, I think the more you fumble things. And, you know, I don't know if that has to do with personality types and some people are just geared to not, you know, worry about things as much, or if it, you know, in some levels it comes with just that familiarity or that habitual relationship between you and the gun and and what you're doing. You know, if what you're doing seems so normal to you that, you know, a little bit of pressure is no big deal versus, you know, somebody who's relatively new.
So would you say that the thing that we want to try and cultivate is the ability to perform tasks devoid of external stimuli almost? I mean, like, and what I mean by that is, like, the external stimuli that we're receiving is not going to impact our ability to perform the task?
I think that's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it boils down to I am so familiar with my task that I can perform it while thinking about something else.
Yeah.
While observing and solving some other problem. So I don't know if we just said the same thing but different words or not.
That's most of the conversations that everybody has about this topic, which is kind of interesting to me because there's so many people that, like, get into arguments online and stuff like that. And it's like you're both saying the same thing. I don't see the issue here. We got to go to breakdown, so hold that thought. We're talking with Don Edwards right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. So, Jack.
Yes, John.
How are you enjoying the show so far?
It is an interesting exchange between you and Don.
Well, it's always an interesting exchange between Don and I. I mean, always. I was gonna do a Star Wars reference. Like, you should have been there that one time when he expressed his true feelings to me in the South Corridor. But then
that's
like,
a mental image I just need to shake out. It's
a mental image of Don in the Princess Leia slave bikini because
not okay with that.
Don's okay with that. I can tell.
Hey, I have photographic proof of Jack and his attraction towards me.
Oh!
I'd forgotten about that. Jack had forgotten.
The thermal doesn't lie.
Oh!
It looks very intense.
So what we're talking about? There's a picture that I may need to post on the show's Facebook page.
Yeah, this has to have context.
Of Don teaching a low light class, and the photo is taken through thermal, and you see Don, and it's very clearly Don or whatever up in front of the class teaching, and then there's this big giant heat bloom with a beard
that is very clearly Jack.
Oh yeah, just staring at thermal Don's rear heat signature,
the exhaust port.
It's not ray shielded, so Wayne, it is ray shielded. Yes. Anyway, wow, I'm okay.
Yeah, that was an alliance.
Yes,
it was a really good class. Like even if you don't own night vision, I would say go take that class if you're interested in it, because I learned a lot of like nifty stuff, including the fact that I had like a failing battery the night before. I didn't have a spare with me on the range, so like.
You didn't have spare batteries?
No. I had them like we were kind of away from where the bags were, which is where I had my spare at. And it started going really dim, and I'm like, oh man, this is scary.
Yeah.
Because like I went from like having information due to the night vision goggle to not having that information as readily available. Like they don't turn off; they just get dimmer and dimmer. And I'm on the range and people are shooting. I'm like, oh man, I don't like this.
And I can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, had you had a Mohawk on your helmet with,
there you go.
With a spare battery. See, what I'm talking about actually is the TNVC Mohawk Mark II battery box counterweight.
Oh yeah. Like I used to be at the point where I was like, oh,
do you like how I just slid that product right in here?
That was nice.
You need to make a pink one. I want a pink Mohawk for a number of reasons, but I think it would be
for
cool.
For a number of reasons. We'll talk to Chip about that. He might be able to get that done.
Breast cancer awareness, you know, do something. But I want the pink Mohawk.
You know, what you could do is actually just get the coyote tan one
mm-hmm.
and then get some pink Rit dye and it would probably pink right up.
How domesticated do you think I am that I could dye cloth?
I actually think a lot more than you'd like people to know, Jack.
Quiet, you.
Yeah, right. So anyway, we are completely tangential with Don Edwards right now. We were discussing sort of what people should be looking for, how should people select the training that they receive, and like what the end goal is, and sort of how we sort of came across the fact that a lot of people are saying the same thing, using different words, and then fights occur due to that. If you could change one thing about the training industry, what would it be, Don? Another random question that I gave you.
Yeah,
no,
another random question that puts
preparation
Don on the spot.
For.
You know, I could say the nice politically correct thing and be like, we all need to get along better.
No, say but, seriously, know. Dude.
But
say whatever.
But that does kind of need to happen. There's a lot of, you know, I don't know. There's pluses and minuses, but you know, you've heard the saying that, you know, this business eats its own. I'm sure just about every business does that, or
right.
industry type does that. You know, and on one level, it's sort of a self-policing, but, you know, on another, you know, it gets old, you know,
yeah.
and you know, it's like, you know, we don't need gangs, you know, of people in everybody's different camp. You know, this isn't the UFC.
Well, so what's funny about that to me is that it's very rarely, I mean, sometimes it is, it's very rarely the personality directly involved in like the mudslinging that occurs. It's all the hanger-ons.
Oh yeah, it's their student alumni and, you know, fans. And I think it's human nature. I mean, we're kind of, you know, Jack's a perfect example. We're tribal oriented. You know, we want to belong to a group. We look up to certain people. We decide that person is, you know, our teacher, our guru on a subject, and we're ready to defend them.
Yeah. I don't know. If I could if I could change one thing about the training industry, it would be the severe lack of cookies. I mean,
the lack of cookies?
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many classes I've been to where there were no cookies provided at TD1. Jack, what do you got?
Well, I'll say that there are rarely cookies, but I've never been to a class where a cop wasn't at that donuts didn't show up on day two.
Oh, my God.
And it's perfect. Like, I every time I'm like, man, thank you.
So it's funny you mentioned that because we did the thing with Daniel Defense a couple weeks ago, and there was a NYPD guy there, great guy. I think it was day three. No, it was day two. You're right, Jack. He rolls in with coffee and donuts, and I'm like, this is without fail. I don't know. So
I'm not saying it like
as, the line.
I'm not saying it's like every cop loves donuts, but there is like an ingrained thing in cops that they go to so much training in the morning where like, oh, you know what would make me popular? If I brought coffee and donuts. And that dude always gets a pass from me on anything else. You could be the worst shooter on the line. I'll be like, yeah, but
it's like, bro, you put a round in me.
But you brought coffee and donuts on day two when I was kind of dragging, and that's all right by me.
Yeah. So if let me ask you this, Don. What's the biggest aha moment you've seen students have once they start taking training, I guess? Is there any particular one or anything that stands out?
The biggest.
Yeah.
I like working with new shooters, even though, you know, it seems like everybody wants me to teach them ninja type stuff.
Right.
Well,
bro, you were SF, so that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah, I know, you know. But, you know, whenever I get a chance to you know, especially a private session with, you know, somebody or a small class where we're focusing on, you know, kind of newer shooters.
Yeah.
You know, I just love seeing, you know, when it's you can almost see that switch where they start to feel confidence that, you know, when they showed up that morning, you know, they were a little nervous or they, you know, they'd shot a little bit, but they weren't really sure. And then by the end of, you know, day one or middle of day two, they're really just starting to flow. They're starting to you know, look confident. Their gun handling skills are, you know, competent. And, you know, you don't have to remind them, you know, about their trigger fingers and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, those are, I don't know if that's a specific aha moment, but that's probably what I like to see the most is that transformation, you know, and especially in a defensive shooter, because, you know, I think that a lot of, you know, I mean, sure, are they as good as, you know, they could be, or maybe some of us think they should be? No, but having that confidence in their ability is, to me, a big thing, you know. So,
right.
You know, I usually drive home floating, you know, off the seat of my truck when I'm coming home from a class like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hey, man, we're coming up on the end of the show. If people want, if they want to come and take a class with you, where can they find you at?
Well, I'm all over Facebook. Greenline Tactical is the name of the company. We have a website called greenlinetactical.com. And also night vision stuff, Night Fighter, through TNBC.
Yep.
Tactical Night Vision Company. We have a couple of Night Fighter courses on the books for Alliance Ohio coming up.
Nice, dude. Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking time to come on the show.
Sure thing, man.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, no worries, dude. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, man. Be safe, all right?
Yep. All right, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Hey, see you. So make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.